I'm Piper Wells for EAA Radio. Few stories in our country's history have more courage, tenacity, and ingenuity than the story of Apollo 13. For 5 days, the entire world watched as the brave men and women of NASA fought to bring 3 of America's finest astronauts safely back to Earth. It's been called America's most successful failure. I'm honored to have as my guests today Milton Windler, the flight director, and Bill Reeves, the Lunar Module flight controller, who both worked directly on this historic mission. Milton and Bill, thank you for joining us today. Milton, tell us what your role was for the Apollo 13 mission.
Well, I started off, I was the lead flight director, which meant to work with a large number of people and disciplines to build the flight plan and develop the mission rules, which are the go, no-go decisions and alternate decisions that we might have to make, which did not include Apollo 13, as it turned out. But anyway, and I was work with the crew in doing the lunar surface excursions, which we had planned to do.
How did you first find out there was a problem?
Well, I was in the control center watching the TV broadcast of the lunar module entry and the tour that they were making then, and so I happened to be still there when that the tank actually blew up and the instrumentation went crazy, and so I was there, and then I stayed. But I wasn't on duty. I was watching Kranz, and then after that, Lenny.
How did you deal with knowing that other people's lives depended on your decisions?
We knew we had a lot of capability, and we felt responsible for making it come to a successful conclusion, and we felt like we had the resources to do that. And I guess I never really thought that anything was hopeless. We just knew we had a lot of work to do, and we knew pretty much what had to be done. Not in, you know, not exactly, but we knew the general things that had to be solved, and so we went about solving them.
When you understood the scale of the problem, did you think you would be able to bring these men home?
Yes, we did. I did. I thought we did, and I think most of the people did think we could bring them home. We never thought they were lost.
Tell us how you felt when you realized that there was a solution to the problem.
Well, there was no bingo solution like you might see in the movies. There was a solution to this problem and then a solution to another problem, and we were aware that there were a bunch, and we just kept solving problems until we'd solved them all. So the only time of elation was, for me actually, when the crew was taken to the carrier, because being a person that has worked in the recovery operations for a long time, I know that you can lose crew members on the water even after they've landed safely. And so we never celebrate until the crew is actually on the carrier.
What do you think it was about NASA that allowed you to succeed?
We were given a task, get man into space first, and then later put the man on the moon and bring him back. And we were given the resources to do it and the freedom to go ahead and make that happen. And we were young, and we went about doing it. It was good.
How did you feel when the capsule finally returned to Earth on April 17th, 1970?
Well, I did feel, a sense of fatigue. Like I said, now I'm talking about, for me, didn't happen until the crew got on the carrier, I felt like that we'd had done a big thing, and I was pretty tired.
How did that experience change the course of your life from that point on?
I can't say that it did. Sorry. I did the same things I'd done before.
Bill Reeves, tell us what your role was for the Apollo 13 mission.
I was the Lunar Module Electrical Power Systems Support Engineer in the mission control during the flight. And our console had responsibility for managing the power system of the lunar module and all of the pyrotechnics that you know, separate stages and open valves and things like that. So I was coming on console, taking a shift handover when the accident happened. So our team pulled together a procedure for powering up the lunar module and getting it into a configuration where we'd have enough battery power to get the crew back to Earth. And they were going to have to live in the lunar module for the rest of the flight.
How did you first find out there was a problem?
I was, as I said, I was in the middle of a shift handover, and the previous person on the console was handing over to me, and we were in the middle of a briefing. Of course, we had our headsets on, and we were listening to the air-to-ground, and we heard Lovell say, "Houston, we've got a problem," and the command module electrical power system engineer, flight controller, was right next to us, and he told us immediately that they'd had a major problem in their power system, and that's how we found out about it.
How did you deal with having other lives counting on your decisions?
You just dealt with the technical issues, and the rest of it will take care of itself. I mean, we just handled the problems as they came up and did the best job we could do.
When you understood the scale of the problem, did you think you'd be able to bring them home alive?
The very first few minutes, we were just methodically going through the numbers. And as I said in the briefing, the first few numbers we came up with didn't look good. But, you know, as we worked the problem and started getting the power levels down, then we thought all along that barring any other major problem that we would get them back okay.
Tell us how you felt when you realized there was a solution to the problem.
Well, as I said, we didn't know there was a solution to the problem until we saw those three main parachutes open up, and that's when we knew we had finally solved all the problems.
What did you think it was about NASA that allowed you to succeed?
Oh, I think the management in place at NASA at the time and the way the agency was managed, the way the flight control team was organized and managed, and the way the training team trained all of the people. I've always thought that the training people were the unsung heroes of the program, that they're behind the scenes, they're forcing you to do the best job you can and to be as smart as you can be. It's just like being a teacher, you know, the teachers are the unsung heroes, and these training people are the teachers of the flight control team.
How did you feel when the capsule finally returned to Earth on April 17th, 1970?
It felt really good. There was a major clapping and celebration in the control center when we saw splashdown, and we knew the crew was home safe. After that, it was just being very tired because we'd been going 24/7 ever since the incident.
How did that experience change the course of your life from that point on?
Well, it didn't change me that much right then. I just continued to do the same job I did for the rest of the Apollo program. It was only after Apollo was over and we were looking at a 6 to 8 year gap between Apollo and the space shuttle flying. And that was when I had to find something else to do within NASA, and I went to the Earth Resources Aircraft Program and flew in their high-altitude airplanes for 8 years, and then came back to flight control, back to operations, when the space shuttle started flying. And I was a flight controller on shuttle until 1983. I was selected as a flight director, and I was a flight director for the rest of my career at NASA on shuttle.
My guests today have been Milton Windler, flight director, and Bill Reeves, Lunar Module Flight Controller for the Apollo 13 mission. Gentlemen, it's been an honor to chat with you today. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
My pleasure.
For EAA Radio, I'm Piper Wells.